Welcome to the Lakeside Baptist Church podcast. We pray you are blessed as you hear the word of God today. For more information regarding Lakeside Baptist Church, please visit lakeside.asn.au.
How's everybody going this morning? Good, a little hot. I know, I promise I'll be quick. Well, if we haven't met before, my name is Lennon, one of the team here. It's great to be with you this morning on a hot summer's day. And if you're visiting us or you're a guest or it's your first time here, I just want to give you a big warm welcome. Hope you stick around after and meet some new people. Why don't you turn to your neighbour before we get started and ask them, what are their plans for Christmas? Are they going away? Do they do the family thing? What are you doing for Christmas? Excellent. Sounds like there's some exciting things happening out there. I heard some different trips, which is always fun, some different family traditions. I'm really looking forward to Christmas this year. I'm going on my first ever cruise, so I'm really looking forward to that. Give me a wave if you've been on a cruise before. That's right, I'm joining the over 50s club. It's excellent. I told my friends, I said, you know, I'm going on this cruise, and you never know. It's from Sydney. It's off to Vanuatu. There could be a beautiful Italian Christian woman that comes on board, something. And they said, and she'll probably be 60 years old. I'm like, oh, no worries. Whatever I need to do. Just kidding. That's just a joke. I'm looking forward to Christmas. Isn't December? December's a huge month. It's a big month. It's funny, as the year comes to an end, everything kind of picks up, doesn't it, work-wise, and everything's busy with Christmas looming. And it's a time, as December kind of happens each year, isn't it? It's crazy how quick it comes and the decorations go up and we get into the season of Christmas. But what I find really interesting about Christmas is it's a large majority of the world stops on the 25th of December. In fact, most shut up shop, even the Crown Casino closes for Christmas Day. Even they say, we're not touching this day until 9 p.m. when they reopen. But until then, they're not, and don't ask how I know that, but they say we're not opening on Christmas Day. We don't touch that. And I find it really interesting. It's the same with Easter as well. Internationally, worldwide, these are two of the biggest celebrated times where the whole world stops. And it's interesting for me, for people who maybe necessarily don't have the same faith as me or us, or maybe don't even believe in someone named Jesus, that we have all these other public holidays, the Queen's birthday, which celebrates the Queen's birthday. We have Australia Day, which celebrates in some way the coming together or the independence of our country. In America, they have most of these public holidays celebrate and stop to pause and reflect on actual events that we like to pause and remember. But when it comes to Christmas and Easter, those who don't believe are like, oh, no, that doesn't mean anything. They're just days we have off. It's interesting, isn't it, that dynamic between, well, everything else actually is connected to an actual event that happened that we stop and reflect on, but not Christmas and Easter. Well, for me, I think that there's actually something much bigger happening there. The whole world stops on this day. And I think for the world to pause and for Australia to stop, there's actually something greater happening. That is actually because of the birth of Jesus Christ. And whether the day for you is about exchanging presents, seeing family, celebrating that there is something bigger going on, catching up with some friends about exchanging gifts, whatever that might be for you, the truth is Australia and most of the world stops on this day. And as a community here at Lakeside, and a place where many believe this day is actually very significant in marking the birth of our God who became fully man, there's actually a lot going on that we celebrate this month. And there's all this build-up, isn't there? All this build-up of shopping and food and preparing and exchanging gifts and working out where we're going, whose house we're going to be at, all because of this day called Christmas. And we're in a series this month of unpacking this Christmas season because of Bethlehem is what we're talking about this month, because of Bethlehem. And if you're joining us for the first time today, you've come at week two in this series. And today we're going to be looking at because of Bethlehem, what took place in Bethlehem. Sinners have a friend. Sinners referring to every single human being. And it's funny, isn't it, Christmas? Because if your family is anything like mine, perhaps Christmas Day is it's a little bit of chaos. It's a bit of a mess. You're kind of going all over the place. Maybe it's a split family. Or maybe there's just certain people in your family that you don't really like. And Christmas Day is the day that you have to kind of see them and tolerate them. And you're picturing someone. I know you are. And isn't it funny how Christmas is that time where we tolerate someone? Or maybe are tolerated by someone in our family. And it's that year, you know, like, oh, Uncle Jim's going to be there, you know, with his terrible jokes. We'll just put up with it, you know. It's, you know, we'll just, no, not talking about you, Jim, by the way. Sorry, mate. But also fitting, but not talking about you. And we think, you know, I've got to just put up with this, but I just, you know, it's just 3 hours. But what's funny is I wonder how many people in our families are saying the same thing about us. Oh, Lennon's going to be there. You know, smart little arrogant jerk, that guy. I got to just put up with him. He gives terrible gifts. I give terrible gifts. I give terrible gifts. And they know I'm getting nothing. I give a candle every year. Same one normally, just a good candle. And I wonder how many people in my family are like, here we go. Here's the candle. You know, the outcast. You know, that one person in the family at Christmas, maybe at the table. Maybe they always ruin it. Every year, there's that one. They always blow up at something. There's always a drama. And there's an outcast in the family. We all have one in our family. Maybe you are one in your family. But what's also interesting is if we use a little bit of EI, emotional intelligence, and we reflect on our own lives, there's actually times that we've been outcast ourselves. There's times that we've wronged someone in our family. Maybe we've lost it. Maybe we just had a blow-up moment. Maybe we were stressed out or embarrassed. Maybe we isolated ourselves. Or maybe there's someone we're holding unforgiveness to in our family, and it separated us from them, an outcast, separated. And not always necessarily because something wrong was done to us that cast us out. Perhaps maybe in your own life, if we're honest, because there certainly is in mine, there's times where through my own actions, I've separated and outcasted myself. I can remember in a more humorous way, one December years ago, we were having some board games. I was probably around 12 years old. And my best mate, we've been friends for years. I've known him since I was about six. Best friend at the time. And his name's Jeremy, not Jeremy Borden. Name's Jeremy. And he was over and we're playing this game of Pictionary. And now I'm a very competitive person, you know. If I'm playing any game and you can win, well, why not win? You know, it makes common sense. You're going to win. Well, I'm going to win, obviously. I don't, even if it's against my niece, I want to win. She's four, it doesn't matter. She's crying. I won the game and that's what matters. I'll remember this when I leave. So I'm playing this family game. And there's my family there, one of my great friends, Jeremy. And now I'm no Picasso, you know. I'm no great artist, but I can draw okay. I'm not a great artist, but I can draw okay. And it's a very easy word. And this would have guaranteed us pretty much victory. We would have, you know, we were within six of the end. You know, there's 12 on the die. I'm comfortable if you can just guess this. We're good. And so I'm drawing it. It's just branch. It's not even a hard word, is it? Drawing branch. I'm drawing a great tree, and there's branches coming out. My idiot friend sitting there, log, stick, trunk, leaves, forest, plantation, starts naming trees, jacaranda tree, I don't even know the names of trees. Isn't that? And I'm there, I'm like, and you can't talk, I'm starting to get crazy, I'm circling the branch, he's like, extension, what's the bit that comes out? And I'm fuming, it's just branch, mate, how hard is that? The stupid little, you know, hourglass thing goes off and everyone always wants to get me. They're like, time's up, and I stand up. I'm 12. I've changed, all right? Kind of. I was 12. I stand up in anger. I'm like, it's branch. You idiot. And I slap him across the face as hard as I could. It's a disgrace. And then in shock at what I've done, run to my room crying, you know, 12, crying, upset, disgraced, embarrassed, angry and furious. Mum remembers it. And I remember smacking him. And then he's sitting there and he's embarrassed, obviously. He's like, I'm sorry. And Mum's like, no, love, don't you be sorry. We're sorry. Lennon's an idiot. We're sorry. You know, and I'm in my room, and I'm so embarrassed. And we laugh at that, but I definitely isolated and outcasted myself in that moment hugely. And it was a really embarrassing moment. But it's funny because, well, it's not really funny. It's true, though, that in my life I've actually done that in many other times in not so humorous and not so innocent ways. So haven't we all? Where we just said that thing we wish we hadn't, or we sent that thing we wish we hadn't, that email, or we were caught up in something that just... It's not who we wanted to be, and it outcasted and it isolated ourselves. So who knows what it's like to be outcasted, maybe to feel unwanted or embarrassed by your own actions, not even necessarily because someone did something to you. Maybe it's in your marriage or in a marriage, in a friendship, a business deal, in a team, maybe with a close friend who was once close. And if you can relate to a time whereby your own action you were outcasted or felt that way, then the true message of Christmas is a beautiful story of redemption for us this morning. because it puts us on the same level playing field. And I love, as we unpack over this month, because of Bethlehem, and today we're talking about Sinners Have a Friend, the way that this relates to us is people who maybe we have been outcasted before, maybe through our own actions, if we're honest. And there's a great passage here, and really this is the premise of Christmas. It's the Christmas story in just 7 verses. And we're going to just look at that, unpack a few points. I'm not going to keep you for long, so you can go home and have a swim or a cold shower, whatever you're going to do to cool down. But we're going to unpack 7 verses here, and then we're going to have a little look at how this ties into the Christmas story and what this has to do with being an outcast. So if you've got a Bible and you want to follow, Matthew 1, 18 to 25. And this whole passage is the birth of Jesus the Messiah. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. He did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus. That's a really interesting passage as we look at that. We can just kind of skip through it and be like, yeah, it's this Christmas story. People who know nothing maybe even about Christianity understand this is kind of what happened. But what I find so interesting is that this passage, if you're a Christian in the room this morning, really requires actually a lot of faith. Dare I say almost, not as much, but almost as much faith to believe that this Jesus we believe in rose from the dead. And this is why. A woman falls pregnant by the Holy Spirit. That's an interesting concept. For someone who doesn't share our faith, this passage just sounds completely crazy. Essentially, a ghost got someone pregnant. The Holy Ghost got someone pregnant. And you might think, oh, I haven't thought about it like that. Well, next time your pre-married daughter comes home and says, well, Dad, I'm pregnant, but it's not what you think. It was a ghost. I wonder how you'll respond to that. Well, you have as much faith in that moment as we do when we read this story. And when we actually put it like that and we look at it, we're like, that actually requires a lot of my faith to believe that, which is what makes this story different to any other story and makes it special. That because of Bethlehem, because of this moment, sinners have a friend. And there's one underpinning point that I want to draw out from this text that we've just looked at. And it's where Jesus says in verse 21, and she will have a son. So not where Jesus says, it says in verse 21, and she will have a son, and you were to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. What's interesting is in this text here, it says the word his people. If I refer to my people, my friends, they're already mine. That's my group. We hang out all the time. These are my friends. We're already connected. Or this is my family. It's ownership of that. Oh, that's Len. That's his family. Or those are his friends. There's actually a connection there. And so when we read this, the first thing it does is break down any them and us and puts us as the outcast all on the same level playing field to save his people. We are all his people, everyone, 7 billion of us on this planet. And we talked about this idea of outcasts in our families, but actually it puts us on the same level playing field that God came in the form of a human named Jesus for everyone, his. We are all his. He didn't come to save the elite or select. He came for everyone. And what's interesting is as we unpack this and we talk about it even in discussion, and I have a lot of discussions with this about some of my friends who don't necessarily share the same faith as me. Do you know what a lot of my non-Christian friends say to me, and even some of my family, is, well, how arrogant are you, Lennon, to think that we need your Jesus? You know, that he's, how arrogant are you to think that, well, he's for us, or that I need his forgiveness? I'm fine by myself. And to an actual certain extent, if we're fair and honest, that's a very fair point for me to tell someone, well, you need this person. But when we understand the true message, it's not so much about telling people even necessarily and trying to... It's actually about showing it continually through our actions. And when we understand that there isn't a them and an us, and that due to the outcast, we're actually all on the same level playing field, saved by grace through him alone, it separates the need for us to push this on people, and instead we can share it in genuine, tangible ways. And this message is actually a beautiful reminder to us first in this room, maybe who those who have believed for years. What a great message that this season, this Christmas, is a reminder that first he came for us. We're all his people, as in everyone already his. And as Christians, and maybe even perhaps people in this room who don't identify as Christians, this is just a beautiful and simple reminder of this message that we share over Christmas for everyone. It's not for the select. It's not for those who are far from God or close to God. This is for everyone. A day in which the world stops to celebrate is for everyone. A true message of grace. And there's two quick points we can learn from this. And the first one is this message is for me first. For he will save his people. What a great reminder in this season that first we needed God. And sometimes, if I'm honest with you, I forget that. You know, I've made a decision to believe in this a long time ago. But as this Christmas, it gives us a reminder and a hope that actually we first fell short. First. That first, at some point in our life, when we made that decision, we actually acknowledged there is something greater going on here, and I want to be a part of it. And this message isn't to condemn you or put judgment on you to say, you know, you're not worthy, you fall short. But it's actually to bring some realness, some humility, and some humbleness back to remind us of the grace that we received and that we receive. And if there's nothing to be saved from, then we don't need a savior. And I remember having a chat with one of my friends who's not a Christian. And we're like best mates, and we have complete different spectrums on this faith scale. And the one thing that kind of stumbled him, and it's not even that crazy, you've probably heard the quote, but he was saying, we're talking about this idea of this Jesus who's perfect, and then it's kind of us, and we fall short, but he bridged the gap through Christmas and through Easter. And he's like, well, no, I don't know. I don't know, man. No one's perfect. That's what he said. No one's perfect. I said, well, exactly. So if no one's perfect, there's a perfect that no one is. And he just sat there. He's like, no. Well, you can't make up a standard from thin. If no one's perfect, there's a perfect that no one is. And he has a name. His name is Jesus. And in this story, we understand that we need a savior, which means there's something we need to be saved from. Firstly, it's from our own destruction, but ultimately, it's from a belief that at the end of all of this, which so many people put all their eggs in the one basket on this planet, we're actually just passing through here. There's something else after this, and that's why we need a savior. And when you have that enlightenment and the understanding that I don't know what the next thing looks like after this, but it's pretty clear, you know, that actually I need a savior, and there is a perfect that no one is, and he has a name. And we get caught up in that story. And for us as Christians, for those who are Christians already, it's a great reminder that actually we fell short first, and he came to save us. And I forget this sometimes. I get on my high horse. I can action my way. I'm good enough. You know, my deeds are enough. Who am I kidding? You know, I'm a mess up, a stuff up. I need some big picture in my life daily. I need to remind myself, it's not about you, Lennon. It's about God first, Jesus, and then people. It's not about me. It's about God first and then people. And this message of Christmas reminds us he came for his people. He came for his people to include us in this story. Romans 3:23 says, well, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Maybe you're sitting here and you resonate straight away. Yeah, I agree with that. Or maybe you're sitting here, you're like, I don't know about that. Well, at some point in your life, you're going to get to a crossroad. And I guarantee you're going to be like, man, I don't feel like I'm on that right path. This will come back to you. 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. 19:10, for the Son of Man didn't come to then condemn those people. He came to seek and save the lost. John 3:17 says, for God didn't send his Son in the world to condemn it, but to save it through him. And Mark 2:17, just a great passage, says, Jesus overhearing shot back, well, who needs a doctor? The healthy or the sick? I'm here inviting the sin sick, not the spiritually fit. And when I would read that a couple of years ago, to be honest, it was a good passage in my life. I'd be like, man, I got this down pat. Everyone else needs what I believe in. That arrogance, that tinge of arrogance and self-righteousness. As I read that now, it brings me right back to my own heart and my knees and my need to say, that's me. That's me first every time. This message is for us. Because of Bethlehem, sinners have a friend. And friends, that's actually us first. And when we remind ourselves of that daily, it doesn't push us down and it's not supposed to squash us and defeat us. It's supposed to remind us humbly, there's something bigger going on here and I'm invited to be a part of it because of him. I can remember years ago when I got really sick. I had this stomach problem, and I was in agony. I've had a few operations. It's fine now. But I was in the car racing to the doctors, and I end up passing out in the car. And I think that nearly made my mum pass out in the car. And she's driving, you know, and we talked about, you know, where she's from and all that kind of stuff. So she's driving the car. You can't have an Asian driver pass out. It's already bad enough before she's passed out. So she's trying to race me there. Sorry, mum, race me there. And as we're on the way there, you know, I'm kind of queasy. And I remember getting to the doctor, and it was just such a great time where you think this doctor helped me. And, you know, it took a few days. And it's funny in life, when we're sick, all of a sudden I'm going to the doctor. But I wonder if we do the same thing with God, regardless of where you sit on the spectrum. When there's a need, when someone's ill, when something's not right, I'll pray now. But see, God's not just a doctor in this analogy. He's not just there when things aren't great. Unlike a doctor, this message of Christmas means that he's also a sustainer of life through every season, every up and down, through everything you're going through. And this message, I don't want to lie to anyone this morning. It doesn't mean that, if you believe in Jesus and this great message of Christmas, it means everything works out great. You only have to be human for about a minute to understand that's not actually true. Life happens. Stuff still happens to us. But thank God that when I'm going through a rough time, thank God that when someone's ill or someone passes away tragically, I'm like, well, this life isn't the full stop for me. There's something bigger. There's something greater. And yeah, just because I'm a Christian, that doesn't mean that things work out great. It doesn't even mean I make the right decisions more. It means I acknowledge my need for a God who first loved me because of Bethlehem. I have a friend. Nothing to do with my actions, earning my way to righteousness, but everything to do with his actions in bridging that gap because of Christmas. And it doesn't mean that things are going to be rosy, but it means when it's difficult and tough, I'm grounded in something and I'm holding on to something. And I shared this last month, and I'll pray for breakthrough. I'll pray for healing in that sick person in my family. I'll pray that things will work out fine. But even if it doesn't, I'm going to believe anyway because there's something greater. And I don't know how people get through without it. It's no disrespect to anyone here who doesn't share the same faith as me. But when life gets tough, what is there to turn to? And I'll tell you what there is, because all you have to do is look around the world to see what most people are turning to during that time. It's difficult. And so friends, this morning I want to put that in perspective with you. Because of Christmas, because of Bethlehem, we have a friend. It doesn't mean everything works out great, but it means we're saved from ultimate destruction at the end and we're equipped with a sustainer to get us through in this journey. It's a beautiful message this Christmas, available at all times. And I love how when Jesus came to earth, he actually shows what this looked like. Now, whether you believe he's God or he's just a fiction or whatever it might be, the stories are powerful. And we know the story of Zacchaeus. We talked about it just a little while ago. This guy who's up in a tree, really, essentially, he's like a criminal. You know, he's ripping off his own people. And there's a massive crowd there to see this guy, Jesus. And Jesus calls him down from the tree and says, I'm eating at your house. Don't even come to mind. I'm coming right to where you're at. What a beautiful picture that he calls him down from where he was and says, I'm coming to you, to your place. It's a beautiful picture. And God's grace is big enough for all of us. And grace picks Zacchaeus down from the tree. And grace, my friends, picks us every single time, every mistake. We never earn it, but it's always available because God's grace is big enough. And I love even just a simple analogy to show this, you know. I remember seeing this as a kid, this idea of making great decisions and earning my way to righteousness. And, you know, and growing up in church, you see this. And this glass is pure. It's a pure glass of water. And I have some dye. What is this? Pillar box red food coloring here. I thought it was dye. And even just one drop, you know, one mess up, one decision, just a little drop, it just taints the whole glass. Now, I could make two bad decisions. And, geez, I've made a lot more than that. I'll tell you that. Three. I can make 100, but it's tainted already. One drop already tainted. And the beautiful message of this grace says, no one can earn it. If you break one, you've broken them all. And ironically, Moses couldn't even come down the mountain without breaking the whole lot. Smashed them on a rock by accident. Broke the whole lot before he even got down once. If you break one, you break them all. But then there's grace for us. You can never earn it. May we never be the Christians that want to earn it and we work for it. But let us be reminded of the grace of God this Christmas. Grace is for everyone. And this message is for me first. Because of Bethlehem, I have a friend. And our last point before we go out of the sauna, point two, it's also for them. Because of Bethlehem, it's also for them. And I wonder who the them are in your life today. The other. Those people who you really care about, but they just, maybe you've tried to share it and they thought you were jamming it down their throat. You tried to show it and maybe it's even that outcast. Maybe it's even in that separation. I wonder who that is in your life today. And I wonder if more people would look to God in our society, if it was less about us trying to push this on them or invite them to come to stuff or standing against even some things they believe in this society, but more about us calling out the people who no one would ever expect us to hang out with, just like Jesus did with Zacchaeus, the last person he thought they'd call down. You know how many more righteous people there were in the crowd? Probably pretty disappointed, a bit confused. So who's this guy hanging out with this dude? It's unbelievable. I wonder in our life, who are some of those people that we can associate with and dive in there and really get amongst? And when we understand this beautiful message, it's a scandalous story that we're all his, all chosen, all loved. Regardless of our choice to accept his love, he still loves us first. And I'm going to unpack kind of what that looks like. There's a great passage in Matthew 7:11, and I think on the screen it's from the Message translation, and it says, don't bargain with God. Be direct, ask for what you need. This isn't a cat and mouse hide and seek game we're in. If your child asks for bread, do you trick him with sawdust? If he asks for fish, do you scare him with a live snake on his plate? Well, unless you're Gemma, the answer is no, generally. It's bitten by a snake. As bad as you are, you wouldn't think of such a thing. You're at least decent to your own children. So don't you think the God who conceived you in love will be even better? And I love how this unpacks it. It's saying as earthly people, we mess up and we're still decent to one another at the most of times, to our children especially. How much more is God's love for all of us? And it doesn't mean that we'll all accept it and respond to it, but it means it's available for all of us. And this true message of Christmas, it's a wide message of grace. It's big enough for everyone. And so I wonder this Christmas, and I want to encourage you, who's that one person or that group or that family member that it's time to reconnect with? Maybe you've been so against what they've been for and it's caused division. Or maybe even you were the out, you've done something and it's time to go back in and patch that up. Because we understand, first, this message is for me. I fell short and I need his grace. And secondly, this is for everyone. And who is it this Christmas that you can go and invite to join this wonderful message? Maybe not even by how you tell them about it, but by how you live and love them. This last month in November, we've been going through a prayer series. And I love it. I love all the things we've been praying for. I encourage you to get a card and get amongst it. We've got so many different goals in our lightning basketball programs and the gym and the church and all different ministry areas. But what I also love is there's some real tangible goals. One of them is to see 450 members in the gym, to see 450 people coming along to our services. And you know what the beauty is? We can do one of two things. We can do one of three things. We can just not pray. Second one is we can pray for it. Third one is we can pray for it and action it. As you're praying for, man, 450 gym members, maybe you're getting a tap on the shoulder. Why don't you be the first to join and invite a friend to do it with you who's got nothing to do with Lakeside or what you believe? Just get them in the door. In the gym working out. Who knows who they'll connect with? 450 people at church. If you all brought someone next week, we'd double that. And there's this element of praying, believing in bold prayers and actioning it with faith. And I love the quote. It says, preach as much as you need to every day, but only if absolutely necessary, use words. Do it through your actions. And as we pray and we believe over this last month, I'm so excited to see the actions that couple that. And this message of Christmas, because of Bethlehem, that sinners, that we have a friend. It's one that we can pray about and we can enjoy that, but we can also share that and invite that and be inclusive. And I love this analogy of a plane kind of crashing down. And I've been to the situation once where this happened. I was on this plane and it just takes this crazy nosedive as we're landing. And all the oxygen masks come out. Has that ever happened to anyone on here before where the oxygen masks come out? None? Look at that. You're all very safe. Well done. So I'm on board this flight, and this plane was coming down. It was an AirAsia flight, funnily enough, too. So the flight's coming down, and these masks come plummeting out, and I'm like, oh, my goodness. And you hear and you can see on the news when it happened with AirAsia again recently, and you can see the video of the air hostesses going nuts, you know, like, brace for position. And you're like, it was not even an emergency. They landed. It was fine. So good training they got there. But and so as I'm on board this flight, it wasn't chaos, but they were saying, assemble your mask first. Assemble your mask first and then help someone. And I don't want to put, you know, fear or make it something it's not. Life is a beautiful gift and there's so much beauty in it. But at the end of the day, it's not forever. And a plane takes off and it lands. We're born and we die. In fact, it's the only guarantee in this room is that we will at some point, we'll pass away. And time goes on and and the ages continue and decades happen. And like that plane, it's a journey. And life's the same thing. It's a journey. And I love this analogy of put your mask on first, then help others. And this message of Christmas is such a beautiful and simple reminder of the grace that God has for us first. Put on our mask. This message is for me. It's a reminder. I didn't earn this. I'm not good enough. In fact, I fall short all the time. All the time. And that's what makes it powerful. And when I understand that, I don't need to lead people and coach people and try and show them what it is. No, I just need to say, man, I just need Jesus in my life. And you can watch me experience that. And that's all the leadership you're going to get from me, unfortunately. If you expected something more, I'm the wrong man for the job. Because I'm a human being who's on this journey of understanding more of God. And I never want people to be pointed to me and how I live, but always be pointed to me and my need for Jesus this Christmas. A great message of grace. And the scripture that backs it up, love God first and love people second. Receive and then give. If you never receive, you have nothing true to give. And if you're always giving, it becomes bitter and dry. And this Christmas message is wide. It's for all of us. And you know that passage we just looked at before about the evil parents, or if you're not a good parent, you know, you still give decent gifts to your children. What a beautiful image this is to unpack that as we close this morning. I heard this described years ago. I think I read it perhaps, but I can remember it. And it's this idea of you're in this great house, so many rooms, this massive house, and there's a storm coming. And I touched on this at some point this year, but I never unpacked it. And there's this big storm coming. And in the house, they know, well, there's a storm coming at some point. Maybe the plane's going to crash, this journey of life. And so the parents who love their children give the invitation, hey, storm's coming, you've got to come inside. You've got to come inside. There's tons of kids. These people have lots of kids. And they're saying, come inside. Come inside. Some kids go inside. And the storm comes and it gets battered out there. It's windy, it's cold, it's wet. Not all the kids responded, but all the kids were invited. God loves everyone, all His messages for everybody. Not everyone will always respond. But the beauty of this is once you're inside, and maybe this morning you're like, I believe, I'm a believer, you're saved, you're His. Friends, today there are people outside who are drowning. We're in a confusing time in our country. There's so much debate and different things going on. I encourage you to embrace what God has done for you in your life first. And then pick up an umbrella and go back outside in the storm. And pick up some of the people that you're going to be criticized for hanging out with. People are going to think things because you hang out with them. Well, that doesn't make sense. Go and find those people and include them in. And don't be afraid to be criticized or judged because of who's under your umbrella. Embrace it. First, you received, and now you can give. And it always starts with us. It's my heart that this message would remind us this Christmas of the beauty of grace because of Bethlehem. Friends, we have a friend. Sinners have a friend. His name is Jesus. The grace is given to us first. He loves all. And the challenge and the call is to now receive that first and then go back out and by our actions show it to others. Because of Bethlehem, sinners have a friend. It's a great encouragement that we have a great God and a Savior through Jesus. And maybe you want to discuss this more or you've never really thought about this concept. Come and have a chat with me or one of the team. We'd love to discuss this with you. But maybe you've been a Christian your whole life and it's just a great reminder this morning that God first loved you. Receive first. And you know that friend who I was 12 years old and slapped across the face. I was in his bridal party in Bali just last year. 20 years we've been friends. About 5 minutes after I did that, he came into my room. He's like, man, it's all good. Like, I know you didn't mean to do it. I'm so sorry, man. I was so embarrassed, crying. He's like, it's totally fine. You know how amazing it is to receive forgiveness? You know when you've done something wrong and someone's holding it against you? You know that. We all know that feeling. It's horrible because you know you were in the wrong. And when they give you forgiveness, it releases and it frees you. And that's what my mate did to me. And on a much larger scale, that's what our King Jesus did for us. Because of Bethlehem, sinners have a friend. You're forgiven, you're loved. And there's a great plan for whatever you're going through. Lord, I thank you for this morning. I thank you that we could just be reminded of this message this December. That because of Bethlehem, sinners have a friend. God, first I acknowledge that's me. I fall short, I mess up, I make mistakes. Lord, may it never be about me and what I can do, but may it always be about you and what you already did. Lord, I pray as a community, as a church this morning, we'd receive that, we'd embrace that, and we'd spread that over this season. I pray for each and every person here that you'd help them to have a great holiday season, keep them safe. And whatever the circumstance, whatever Christmas may bring up for them, I pray that instead they'd be met with a pleasant surprise over this season. And even if they're not, they'd press into you because you're a God who loves them. And even if things don't work out, we'll praise you anyway. In your name, amen.